T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So we're back, and Angelo's going to join us in a second. In 1992, the 1992 season, Reggie White, then 31 years old, in his eighth season with the Eagles, Ike had 14 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
14 sacks. 15 the year before, 14 sacks, and he's a free agent. And Eagles owner Norman Raymond didn't even make him an offer. So he goes to Green Bay, his first season in Green Bay, 13 sacks. Ended up having, you know, he wasn't as good. He was regressing. Although his last season in Green Bay, he had 16 sacks at age 37, which is...
Yeah, I'm like, regressing, huh?
Well, he had 8 sacks the year after that. So mm-hmm. he didn't put up the numbers that he put up in Philly, because in Philly, he had 21 sacks, 18 sacks.
Yeah, you know what that's called?
What?
Offensive coordinators making double adjustments. Team. Yeah, we're going to put tight ends over there. We're going to put running backs over there. Yeah, he's the same Reggie. Yeah.
Well said. Well, anyway.
Because if he got 16 sacks at age 37, that's impossible.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Reggie White was my hero. He was, I loved him. I couldn't believe the Eagles were letting him walk.
By the way, in 1998, my rookie year, right? I still remember me and my boy Al Wallace. We're on punt team out there. Green Bay's on punt safe, right? They got the defense out there.
Okay.
And I got Reggie White lined up in front of me as if I'm a left tackle on the punt team, though. I got Reggie White lined up in front of me, and me and Al Wallace, I'm like, dude, if he comes off hard, please help me over here. Please help me. Thankfully, Reggie White, that's one of those plays where he was like, young fella, this ain't the time. Like, in other words, don't be out here acting crazy. You know, and that's all he needed to say to me.
Did he say that to you?
No, he didn't. He gave me the look.
Oh, but, he gave you the look.
And he came off the ball as if he wasn't in the mood to be running down the field on punt.
Yeah, Reggie wasn't known as a great practice player through what people say, but he always showed up during the game. Well,
it was like God was lined up in front of me in a three-point stance, man. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. I'm like, dude, that's Reggie White lined up in front of me.
37 years old, he had 16 sacks.
Unbelievable.
Year, like. But so he becomes a free agent, and Norman Braman, the owner, and I guess as a 16-year-old kid, I'm thinking, well, there's no way they can let Reggie White leave. We had already thought they were going to win a Super Bowl. They hadn't. There was unfinished business, but they don't even make an offer. So Angelo and crew, in March of 1993, they go to JFK Plaza, and they have the rally for Reggie. Now, it didn't work, but Angelo's here to talk about that entire situation as Reggie White on this date in 1993 signs with the Packers. Ange, what's up, brother?
Hey, guys, good to talk to you, but what are we going to do, review all the things I failed at over the past 30 years?
You did not fail because you had, no one was bringing Reggie White back here because the owner wasn't interested in bringing him back, Ange.
Well, honestly, I mean, I'm not sure I ever actually admitted this, but when we did it, we had a horrendous relationship with Norman Braman. He despised us, as most ownerships have over the years. And we never for a minute thought that this rally was going to get us anywhere. We just wanted to troll the cheapskate owner.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't think it would ever work, but we didn't expect that so many people would turn out. It really started as like a lark. We weren't really serious about doing it. And then it kind of built up an energy of its own, and we had an anchor person here named Jane Robolo, who used to be on Channel 10 many years ago. And somehow she got involved in it. And she ended up being one of the speakers at the rally. And it built. So we actually got to the rally, there were thousands of people in Love Park, we actually started to believe that it would change Norman Braman's mind. Like, you know, suddenly he would become, you know, much more generous to people. This is a guy who was charging probably you two, like, for socks, right? Wasn't he charging you guys for socks? And this guy was
he was gone by the time I got here, Andy.
Oh, he was gone. Well, yes. Good. You saved that problem. But he was the cheapest donor we ever had in this town. He was a car salesman, and he just never really – but we had a great time with it. It couldn't have failed more spectacular.
Well, see, here's where, and obviously I wasn't even here in the city of Philadelphia at this time, but I've seen highlights and clips of that event and hearing you describe it. I'm just wondering, Angelo, this had to be like in the earlier years of before you became Angelo Cataldi in Philadelphia as a sports talk radio host. Was this one of the first, like, public gatherings that you sort of orchestrated? What was that like, being able to get this city to come together and you being the voice somewhat of the people at that time?
Like, I think it was actually the first,
okay,
to be honest with you. We had only been doing it for 3 or 4 years, and really the first 2 years, Tom Brookshire carried me through it. So this was definitely Al and I had been together less than 2 years when this came about. Mm-hmm. And at this point, although we were in radio for a while, we still didn't have a radio mentality. So the idea of putting on a radio stunt was not really part of our vocabulary then. Mm-hmm. And we just said we hated Braman so much, we wanted to have a demonstration. Yeah. And so we managed to get this permit for Love Park, and we promoted it for maybe a week. And the truth is, when we got there to do this rally, we thought there'd be 50, 100 people. We hadn't done much of this stuff out in public. We didn't think anybody'd come. We tried to set it up to noon so people would come on their lunch hours and stuff. And there's like several thousand people in that little park. And here's the worst part of it. We haven't prepared anything. We assume we're just going to say hi to a few people and get out of there. And now we got to go up and give speeches. Well, we got no speeches. We've been killing time for the last week on the radio. So we just winged the whole thing, and we were bringing people up from the crowd. And I hope no one actually filmed it. It was kind of before cell phones became big, because I think probably it was not a really well-orchestrated event.
Well, Angelo, we certainly don't remember it like that now. I mean, it was one of the first things. So, Angelo, I honestly, like, I was a junior in high school. I remember going in. I remember listening.
Really appreciate that.
I remember listening that morning, and you know, driving in the school to where that was the day where it was for Reggie, and I actually thought that it was going to matter. And I think at that point, like you just said, I actually thought that, like, somehow common sense was going to take over, and Norman Braman was going to sign Reggie White. But of course, that didn't happen.
Well, but you're right though that there was. I mean, we got all those people because they thought it would matter. But we didn't actually think it would matter until we got there, because we knew how much Braman hated us. We assumed he never listened to us. We trolled the hell out of him relentlessly. We had Stan Hockman there, who used to call him Bottom Line Braman, mm-hmm. and he hated that too. He hated being depicted as this cheapskate car dealer, but actually that's what he was. But honestly, by the end of it, John, we thought we were going to get this done. And it wasn't that long after when Reggie signed with Green Bay. And then I remember we turned on Reggie. And we went, well, after all that work we did for you, mm-hmm. you turned your back and took the money. How shameful. Mm-hmm. And then we attacked Reggie for a while.
Yeah, that sounds like you. That's on brand.
Well, he said, Angelo, he said that God told him to go to Green Bay. That and,
well,
and 17 million.
That didn't sit well with you, I know.
John, there was a period of there where we were kind of not too kind to God for telling Reggie to go. We even took on God for a day or two. But it was a success in that we saw by doing that we could, you know, do these kind of things, and did a whole bunch of them after that.
Honk for Herschel comes to mind.
And that was probably the number one one. But then we did the tents every year. You know, we would do the pregame shows for the tent, and we'd get huge crowds for all of those things. And you, you know, some of it wasn't on the air, and that part we could use profanity and stuff. And it was, we did. But that's really where it all started. It started with that stunt that turned into a rally, which got huge TV coverage and all this stuff, and ended up, you know, not getting anywhere. And Reggie left, and of course he won a Super Bowl rematch.
And then you became it was the 30 years later, look what you've become.
Well, that's an upset what happened there. Cause I could tell you this, like back in the 90s, I wasn't figuring I would still be around at 2020. So, you know, God bless the fans and all the listeners for keeping me busy this long. But that's how it all started. And, you know, the sad part is when Reggie did pass away so young, it was a horrible, devastating thing because we had become huge fans of him again. He was maybe the best pass rusher ever.
Oh, yeah.
He and LT, right?
Oh,
he
yeah.
LT were the two greatest ones.
Yeah, you can go back and forth who you want to be number one or number two. But, yeah,
those two.
To me, those are the top – those are the two defensive players that everybody goes to when they say who was the best.
Mm. Yeah, it was. And that was the sad part of it. But you know what? He had a great career here, too, and that's probably the way we should remember it. He was spectacular.
How have you been holding up, man? I know you're doing your shows in the morning, and we're all trying to get through this thing talking about things that aren't live sporting events that happened the night before. So how are you holding up health-wise and family-wise and everything else?
You know, it's funny. This is so different than anything I've had to deal with, but it's been kind of fascinating. I mean, you know, this is not anything anybody could plan for. And you think after you've done it 30 years, you've kind of encountered most of the things that are going to happen in planning a sports show. But this has been an unbelievably different experience. And as horrific as it is out there, the 4 hours that we're on the air are the only 4 hours every day that seem pretty normal.
Ain't that the truth?
And a lot of people have said, and I'm sure you guys have gotten the same feedback, thanks for being there. At least we know that WIP is still doing what it always does. And you know what? That's a pretty cool thing. So it's almost like in our own weird little way, we're providing some solace for the people that listen.
Indeed. Anzo, thank you, man.
Thank you,
brother. Appreciate the
time. Anytime, guys. Anytime, guys. Be well.
Yep.
All right, there he is. Anzalo Cataldi.
Great Anzalo Cataldi.
Like he said, right? I guess you've never really seen it all, right? Because just when you think you see it all, something else happens.
I'm telling you, I told my my son this the other day, right? I'm 16 years old. He hadn't been around long enough. He doesn't remember the he wasn't even born when 9/11 happened.
11th,
when 9/11 happened. So and I told him, I'm like, dude, I've been around to see some different events happen in this world, and they are world-changing events, right? And this is probably your first one. This is probably will be the one that, 20 years from now, you have kids of your own and you have your own family or what have you, and you have to look out for the safety and the well-being of your own family. And I'm some old fogey, and I'm asking you to bring me groceries or what have you. This will be one of those moments in your life that you'll experience.
Remember.
If you are fortunate enough to be around on this planet long enough, there are events that are world history events that happen that you experience. John, you and I, we didn't experience World War I and II and some of the, the bombing of Pearl Harbor and things of that nature that happened, that may have happened when we were too young to remember.
My mom always talks about JFK being assassinated,
right?
She was in school.
Yeah. That type of stuff. But, this is an event that our kids that'll be stuck in their memory forever.
Yep.
Forever, because their lives have altered right now. They may not totally understand what a pandemic is and coronavirus, this and that and the other, but their world has changed. Yeah, they haven't been to school in a month. They can't go anywhere, right? They can't go anywhere. You can't.
You're leaving the house with a mask and gloves.
Yes, stuff they've never seen before.
It's scary times, man.
Never seen before.
No doubt about it. Scary times. All right, let's go back to the phones. 215-592-9494. We were talking baseball movies because two notable baseball movies released today in previous years, including Major League. And I like Major League. Major League's a good movie.
Awesome. Very good one. Yes.
But not the greatest baseball movie out there, but the overrated, the underrated, and your favorites. And we've had some good ones so far.
I got another underrated one for you.
What you got?
Cobb.
Yeah, you know what? I've seen it, but I'm not that familiar with it.
I like Cobb. Tommy Lee Jones, Robert Wall. Obviously, it's about Ty Cobb. Right. And it shows
mid-90s.
The colorful side of Ty Cobb, mm-hmm. You know, the dark side of him. But, you know, seeing that side, and Tommy Lee Jones is such a great actor. He's able to pull that character off and be, you know, vulgar and disrespectful.
Totally pulls that off.
Yeah, you know, he's a drunk and he's dying, sort of. And Robert Wall.
Yeah, because Tommy Lee Jones isn't the best looking guy in the world, so right. He can play the angry looking.
like he's had a hard life.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
he exactly. Looked like he's been drinking a lot his life. So, but yeah, I've always liked that movie, Cobb. It doesn't get a lot of the fanfare of some of the other baseball movies, but because there's not a lot of baseball being played other than clips.
Yeah.
It's more about the story being told. But Tommy Lee Jones is such a good actor. And I loved Robert Wall. Robert Wall, I remember from my childhood, Arliss.
Arliss, sure.
He's the first agent, yes. Bull Durham, yeah, that's right. He's mm-hmm. in that as well. So.
Yeah, he's good at being in the sports movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
Arliss was a good early HBO show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, Bull Durham's my favorite to go with League of Their Own. We both agree, League of Their Own, extremely underrated, one of the best baseball movies mm-hmm. ever.
What was the football show that was on HBO back then?
First and Ten.
Oh, man, yes.
The Bulls. Yeah. So bad. It had a didn't have a chick kicker. Or am I?
I don't know.
Yeah. Was that a movie?
I went as far as I could go with just the name. But
first
yeah,
and 10,
you're right.
Yeah.
First and Ten.
But
man.
That was in the days where they had that Dream On show, where it was Dream On, First and Ten, and that was pretty much it.
It's good memory, man. It's good memory.
Andy and Deptford. Andy, what do you got? How are you?
Yo, what's up, boys? How we doing?
Andy,
what's
how
up,
are
Andy?
You? How you holding up?
You said unanimous 1 and 2 defensively. LT, Reggie White.
Yeah.
For that third slot, who would you take? I think these three are worthy.
Ooh,
Charles Woodson, Rod Woodson, and Primetime. Or unless you think somebody would be more fitting. I'm going to go with Primetime.
Mm. You got to give me more than just a minute here to think about it.
Okay.
But that's you know what? Because my first inclination is I can't go corner.
Yeah, I feel you because you need a little bit more of a thumper.
Yeah, right? You know,
yeah. I feel you on that. I feel you on. Yeah, you know, now that you mention that, I'd probably go Rod Woodson over Prime because
yes.
Rod started as a corner,
yep.
And then he finished as a safety.
Yep.
Took a long time.
As far as movies, I'll get the baseball, but quickly on football, The Program, man, what a great movie that was. I mean, you had you had the young freshman running back,
yep.
Darnell Jefferson, Omar Epps beating
yep.
out the old head upperclassmen.
Mm-hmm.
You yep. had the Heisman candidate, Kane is able quarterback. You had the
Latimer.
Crazy defensive player, start defense, Latimer.
And Alvin Mack.
Oh, yeah, the linebacker. Yeah. That was the linebacker,
Alvin
right?
Mack. Yeah, Latimer was right. The steroid guy.
Right, Latimer started defense, baby. Plays to the table. Remember? And then you had the coach, my boy from the Godfather.
James Caan, yes, sir.
Godfather.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. That's a classic flick, The Program.
Yeah, I love The Program.
Oh, man, we watched that before our pal games. That get everybody hyped. You ready to run through a wall. As far as with baseball, my overrated, I'm going to have to go with Moneyball. That's the kind of movie where cats like, you know, them analytics, like show the camera ass people, peek out that kind of flick. You know what I'm saying? Moneyball.
Fritz likes it, too.
Here I am. I lay myself bare.
Yeah, that's definitely the camera.
Moneyball's not even overrated. It's terrible. I hate
that movie.
I like Moneyball, man.
He did?
Come on, Ike.
Well, maybe I had low expectations. I don't know. I just didn't think it was that bad. I don't know.
As far as my underrated, what about that 42, man? That was a great play.
Good one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
it's
one.
A good
yes,
watch.
Sir. Yes.
It's a good watch. I
yep,
agree.
That's a good one. Yep, for sure.
And as far as with baseball possibly starting May 1st, I just think that's a stupid idea for so many reasons, but just on the field reasons, they're talking about these players are going to have to stand in the stands rather than the dugout so they can be 6 feet apart.
Yep.
I like
that.
How
the hell is somebody going to be on first base and be 6 feet apart from the first baseman? What's going to happen when the catcher's got to throw the ball back to the pitcher?
Well, you realize
no mound visits.
Well, here's the thing, though, Andy. We're assuming they all have tested negative. So, at least in that moment, we're assuming they don't have it. But if somebody were to test positive, then they would have to proceed from that point on.
So
I mean, you're still trying to exercise social distancing as best you can, but they're going to play the game. I mean, if they're playing, they're going to just play the game.
They can't not have it to where he can't steal.
Yeah, they're going to just play.
So you're not going to hold them on base and they can't steal. You have to play the game like it's played. They actually have testing out now. I believe it's FDA approved. Me being diabetic, I test my blood sugar with I get a little finger prick and then the blood goes into a testing strip. So supposedly they have this test out right now that you can get it within 5 to 15 minutes in a similar fashion where you're pricking your finger, you're giving your blood into a testing strip, and then you're able to see a positive or a negative test result in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. If they're able to have that technology, they'll be able to test all the players every day if they want to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they can test them every morning, and if something changes, then they would know.
And I'm sure they would monitor it. I'm sure they would monitor that.
It would be all – I mean, it would be a part of the what they would have to agree to.
Yep.
I would assume. So as far as the top three defensive players, I just did a quick Google search, and an NFL.com article from a couple years ago had LT and Reggie 1-2. And I think I don't know who would disagree with that. Bob Lilly,
nobody.
They had three.
Bob Lilly, really?
Yeah.
See,
defensive lineman from
Dallas
70s,
Cowboys.
I guess.
Yeah, I mean
64 through 71. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, I just. You know, Deacon Jones, all those
Deacon
guys.
Deacon Jones is on the list.
Yeah, Ronnie Concrete Lott's on the Charlie. List. Concrete Charlie.
Deacon Jones is 5. Ronnie Lott's 4.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Butkus is 6.
Got Dick Butkus. Ray
Mean
Lewis.
Joe Green, 7.
Okay, Mean Joe.
Woodson, 8. So Woodson's – Ronnie Lott's the first defensive back, and then it's Woodson. Ed Reed, 9. Deion, 10.
Yeah, they put Deion in tackle.
Right.
And
Deion's an all-time great, but you can't put him in the conversation as the best defensive player of all time.
You may say he's the best cover corner of all time.
Yes. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I used to argue with people because that's just the nature of who I am. I would argue Rod Woodson. He's the more complete corner.
Yeah, I'm a
– And he moved to safety.
I can't stand Deion.
And was great as a safety.
Yeah, no, he played in his late 30s.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
At a Pro Bowl level. He was, man, he was good.
I think he has the most touchdowns, fumble return touchdowns or something than anybody.
He played with 38. So spent 10 years Pittsburgh, 4 Baltimore, 2 Oakland.
Yep.
He was in San Francisco for a season.
That's where he finished at. Yep. Oh, yeah.
And he was good. No doubt about it, he was good.
Mm-hmm.
215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. We'll continue with the conversation.
See, once you get past 2, it's such a crapshoot trying to go for who's after Reggie and LT.
I agree. Yeah, I think it kind of depends on what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Right? If you're trying to include a guy that played 64 through 71, then, you know, you're able to do that. If you're more of a modern guy, like, how could I say Bob Lilly? Right, I saw the tail end of Ronnie Lott. I knew how great of a player he was. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Jack, did you say Shane called back in?
Yeah.
So what are we going to have him on?
Yes, we are.
All right, Flying Hawaiian at
440.
440 to talk about Roy Halladay's perfect game, which we're playing tonight on WIP at 7 o'clock. Shane Victorino talking that and talking about what he would do or what he would feel about baseball trying to restart its season. Does it feel forced? And we'll also do the overrated, underrated baseball movies as well. And I have Major League trivia. If there's any the movie Major League, if you're a big fan, I have some trivia questions. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.